This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Dobre utre, bratjies en sister.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Slava Bogu.
Praise the Lord.
Moi savut eta Ivan Kolokolchik.
My name is Jan Klokkies.
Сегодня я хочу вам рассказать об Украине.
Today I want to tell you a little bit more about the Ukraine. Kan ek na my
sister's sister. Yeah. We just want to share shortly with you. Delisi will just start what the Lord has laid on her heart to share with you. You can see my beautiful Ukrainian shirt, eh? The flag is blue and yellow. The blue represents the blue skies, and the yellow is the yellow of their corn. As far as I can see, that you see the yellow corn when it's time for harvest.
What I want to share just quickly, when that brother brought the word about the anxiety, the Lord showed me a picture of all of us, that the day you were born, God starts to write your book of life. It's already written from your birth. And I saw someone here that has served the Lord through all his seasons. But when he turned the page to the next chapter, it was a blank. And there could be anxiety. But God says, look back over your life. Have I ever dropped you? I've been with you. I've watched you. And I asked the Lord, but if the page is blank, how can he see? And the Lord says, it's like invisible ink. It's already been written. And God's plans for you are beautiful. And that he will open your eyes that you can see what he has written. Johnny, just say something that I can.
Well, I must just tell you, I wasn't born a missionary, neither was Delesti. And I always said, when I watched the missionaries, and I thought, man, those are people who cannot make it in the secular world, so now they decide to go and work for God, you see? And I always said, that is the last Oyopi where they wait up Aris Aldun. Now, that's one of the prophecies I spoke over myself, which has come true. So, let me. Dit is nou maar die laaste Oyopi waarmee ek nou besig is.
So, now, what we're going to share with you this morning is not, it's God's story for us that he has written. So, actually, we've got nothing to do with it because it's all from God and we want to give him the glory. You know, when we went, and that's a challenge for each one of us. I see these young people here this morning. Can I see your hands? Under 20 years. Under 30 years. Wow. Okay, that's the next generation. Is that God, if I think of back of us going, there are only two things that God asks from me personally. And that was, go and love my people. And I was so scared because everything that I've seen about the Russians, mafia, is everything that you can be scared of. But God said, go and love my people. And the moment we went, it was like a well that had a lid on. But God's love was buried there for them in the Ukraine. When we arrived there, the Lord lifted the lid, and the supernatural love, not just love, but friendship and trust, it just sprouted. So we thought it was only for us, but we saw an amazing thing as the groups came over the 20 years that we were there. That every time a group came, Their hearts were opened and the love sprout forth. Is it true, Marita? Marita, just stand, please. Please. Marita was with us in the Ukraine and she speaks fluent Russian because she didn't have a translator, and you can go and talk to her afterwards. Thank you, Marita. So what I want to say, and that was so incredible, that God created the supernatural. And we thought it was first us, but then we realized it's not. It's between South Africa and the Ukraine. And God willing, some of you might go there and you will experience that. The only way that you will find out, don't be scared, because as you sit here, God's invested in you precious treasures that is lying dormant. But the moment you go, you excel. And like with me, for instance, I wasn't a missionary at all. I could do other things well, but not mission work. And when I went there, the Lord opened my heart for the nations. And friendship between prostitutes and us. And, and then I asked God, but why is it cross-cultural? Why does God always work cross-cultural? And that is because a prophet is really not honored in his own land. The moment you arrive there, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you look, your accent, if you say, forgive me, I cannot speak Russian well, is Venice Yagavaru Uchin Plocha Paruski.
Sorry, I can't speak. I only speak very bad Russian.
And then the moment you say that, their hearts open for the gospel. I was in a supermarket wanting to buy fruit, veggies. And I had my translator with me, Irina. And this woman, when she found out I was a foreigner and she wanted to know, it's like God uses the fact that we're foreigners as a bait. Then they're interested. Their hearts are open. Africa, is it possible? And then she said, she grabbed my arm and she said, out of the blue, how can I find God? And we were on our way, and I said to my translator, Irina, quickly tell her about Jesus. You can lead her to the Lord in 5 minutes. She said these words, Delisti, she won't believe me. She will listen to you. And so as I spoke, she accepted the Lord. So it is so wonderful. Shall I speak about Superbook later, how everything starts?
Yeah, you know, reading the scriptures, I see that one day Moses was attending his flock when suddenly a burning bush started having a conversation with him and his life was changed forever. David was minding his sheep in the field, making music, playing his harp, and composing psalms when one of his brothers came and said, Samuel is here. And he wants to speak to you. And his life was changed forever in a moment. Gideon, threshing the wheat, hiding from the Philistines. Suddenly an angel appeared and he says to him, he called him a mighty man of valor, and his life was changed irrevocably. In December 1994, I was minding my own business, working in the pharmacy, and planning for the next 3 years for our little church, when a woman walked in. And she says, we've just come back from the Ukraine. We've been doing missionary work there for a few months. And seeing that I was an elder in the church for quite a while, I thought, well, I'd better also say something spiritual. So I said, you know, I've always said to the Lord, if he wants to use me, I wouldn't mind. I would love to go to Russia. She says, are you serious? Look at the goosebump. And I knew I'd painted myself in a corner. I could now say, sorry, I'm just joking. Can I just say this? If God speaks to you, do not delay. Act immediately. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. And then later on you'll say, as ek maar net vir die Here geluister het. But then it's too late. So we were invited to join the staff of a Bible school that was started just outside of Kiev, the capital, and Delisi will share with you later on about that. And it was started by a Christian broadcast network from America, CBN, Club 700 here. And our task was to do the pastoral care for about 120 students that came to the Bible school from all over the former Soviet Union. Some of those students had only been Christians for 3 days when they came to the Bible school. And this was as a result of these broadcasts. Now, initially I tried to squirm out of this commitment, and I said, I can only afford to leave the pharmacy for 4 months. And they replied, that's fine, that'll suit them 100%. So next thing, I got a questionnaire from them. And one of the questions was, what is your ministry? So I said, you know, we put out the chairs in the hall, we make the tea, we clean the toilets, we scrub the floor, and I preach and we lead the worship. So what is our ministry? So I didn't know what to answer, so I wrote there, I am a very emotional man, and I cry easily. See, here I go again. So my wife has got a very infectious laughter. If you can use that, we're prepared to come. And so it was dead silence for about 10 days. They must have been very desperate, because then the reply came, we believe we can use your ministry. Please come. So armed with Bibles and concordances and prepared teachings and sermons, we were off to go and teach these Russians, never realizing that God was waiting there for us to work 80% in us, changing us, and only 20% through us. And the changes that he brought about in us and what he taught us there, we would never have learned had we stayed in South Africa. And after about 4 months, the students had finished their studies and their training, and they went out to plant churches now. And Delisi and I came back, and we came back to the pharmacy. About 5 months later, then we got another letter from them. These students have got a little bit of theology, but they've got no practical experience. Wouldn't we please come back? We built such a relationship with them that they accepted us as their father and mother. Wouldn't we like to come back and do circuit riding to all those little churches and give them help wherever practically needed? And so that is when I sold the pharmacy, we sold our home, and we left for the Ukraine as full-time missionaries. You know, we were so blessed because we walked into a national revival. Their God, communism, had died, and there was this void which could only be filled by Christ. They were like ripe apples. We were picking them like ripe apples from the tree. Not once did one Russian or Ukrainian say to me, please don't speak to me, I'm an atheist, or I've got my church, or whatever. None of them ever said that. And every one of them were prepared to listen. And then sometimes, right in the street, he would say, but how do I find him? He said, Netisa, my boot, Netisa, Knil Netisa. And then we prayed for him and led him to the Lord. Of course, when we started doing circuit riding, now you can imagine how large that country is. It is vast. You know, we always talk about the USA, you know, Texas is so big. Man, the USA can fit 2.5 times into Mother Russia. So, and those churches were planted all over the country. So Delis and I had, by train, traveled to all these little churches and see what how we can help them. And but the first thing we saw, it was the poverty. This poor guy hasn't even got time to go from door to door. He's got to fend for his family, try and see where he can buy a bargain to feed his family. So we came up, God gave us this strategy. We decided to connect a South African church to such a new church, to send them a few dollars a month, and then to come and visit them. And I would then ascertain what they needed. As far as teaching was concerned, I would let the South African church know. They would prepare and come and teach them for about 2 weeks. And we used to get up to 25 groups a year. That was the most, 25 groups a year from South Africa visiting us. And the wonderful thing is that as much as what we meant to them, they spoke into our lives. And the South Africans' lives were changed irrevocably. Because there was one thing that God told us, that godliness with contentment is great gain. We have godliness here, but we're so discontented. Ons kla gedurig deur met 'n wit brood onder ons arms. But those people got nothing. But if they find Jesus, they are rich. They are rich. My brothers and sisters, so at a time we had 70 churches here, partnered to 85 churches in Ukraine. Now, Russia, these churches were spread all over the Ukraine, but Russia was a bit big, so we concentrated in one area, and we only had about 20 churches, partnered to 20 churches in South Africa, and then in Armenia, where we only had about 5 churches. Oh, and that's so wonderful there in Armenia. When we went to visit there, when the sun comes up, we looked on the mountain of Ararat, and we knew the ark was there. Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, to adapt, as Delicia said, just to love those people. Once you love them, then cultural differences doesn't matter at all. And it was so wonderful. Of course, we first tried to teach them about home church because they had no buildings. But because of mistrust, that is one of the biggest things in among the old communist countries. No trust for one another. They wouldn't allow a stranger to come into their home. So the cell churches didn't take off. But I can remember this one story. Somebody phoned me and he said, man, there's a pastor with, he's got two kids and he's got 15 members, but man, he's suffering financially. He can't make it. So we went there and I found him a partnership. And the church in South Africa came over at least 2 or 3 times a year. We would go and teach them just whatever, and they invested in them. Next 2 or 3 years afterwards, Delis and I visited them. They'd grown to about 700-800 people. There's the one church run, the pastor was a Nigerian. His church numbered 30,000. There was this great hunger for the truth, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the problem there is that in church planting also, you know, we help them with church planting, evangelism, teaching about family life, and especially marriage seminars, because in some cases, many of the pastors have already married 3 times. That was before they came to the Lord. And in some cities, the marriage, the divorce rate is about 95%. It's because the matriarchale leierskap. The woman is the strong one. The men just drink vodka. And the women are the strong ones. And you will see this. You know these little Russian dolls, the matryoshkas, matryoshka, matriarchal. The woman is always on the outside, and the inside is the husband, and then the children. But that has changed over the years because the Christian artists have now realized the man should be the leader, and they've put the man outside and the woman inside. So things are changing. Now, why Ukraine? During the times of persecution, the Ukraine used to be the Bible Belt. And mostly Ukrainians were banned to the labor camps in Siberia. Many of them died there. The terrible cold and adverse circumstances. Their families back home were denied any education. They were denied any jobs. If you just think of Chernobyl, what a great disaster that was. That was hidden from the world by the Russians. How many died there? The Russians say 32 people died, but 93,000 children died of thyroid cancer afterwards. In 1933, there was a drought in Russia, so they confiscated the whole harvest, and the meat, the eggs, milk, everything was taken to Russia, to Mother Russia, and 20 million Ukrainians starved to death. But the world never said anything about that. Ukraine used to be the bread basket of Eastern Europe because of their wheat. And we believe firmly that Ukraine will become the spiritual breadbasket of Eastern Europe. They are reaching out to the Muslim countries, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, and all those people can still speak Russian. So all those countries can be reached with this one language. And my brothers and sisters, why are we gathering here this morning about this? Why have we on this asked to speak? We're asking you to join us in empowering those people to go where South Africans cannot go. They do it there. Now, I'm closing just with one or two testimonies. We had a thing here in South Africa, we called it a faith promise. So that is money that you promise to God, not to the church, you promise to God that you will spend yearly on missions. 50 rand, 100 rand, no matter. 10,000, if you've got it. You promise that to God. And that was our budget. So one of these churches in Crimea, he was connected to a church in the Strand, and this pastor said, please go and teach those people to take a faith promise. I said to him, "How, brother, how can I do it? That's the poorest of the poorest. Die doodes in die pot in die stad, Armiansk. All the factories had closed. The mines had closed. And everybody was in the street every day looking for a bargain for food. Now you want me to go and teach them to give money for missions?" He said, "I want you to go and teach them that amidst their poverty and persecution, that to give to God." So we went and taught them, and we took up a collection. Make them fill out on a little piece of paper how much you want to give to God for the next year. And you don't even put your name on the card, nothing. It's only between you and God. So we collected, and they promised $5,000. I said, "Yo, guys, you know, you misunderstood me." They said, "We understand you very well. We're going to trust God that from this church will come $5,000. So we took it up, and 4 months later we came there, and so that they had a service specially to full of testimonies of what happened. At that time, $3,750 had already come in after 4 months. And they were testifying how God had restored marriages when they started trusting God for their finances, how God had brought back children who had run away and become alcoholics, how God had brought them back, how somebody had sent them $500 from America, from people they do not even know. One miracle after the other, and healings that had taken place. But you know, that first time when we were there, after the service, we went to our apartment, and we just arrived there when there was a knock on the door, and opened, and here's a little Russian, Ukrainian babushka, a granny. Her name is Zoya. She was 69 years old when she gave her heart to the Lord. But she was a woman of ill repute in that city. She was an alcoholic. She was on drugs. She slept around. And now she's 72. She stands in front of me. She looks like a queen. She had this beautiful velvet dress and this most beautiful coat. And in her hand, she's got a $20 US in her hand. She says, God says, I must give this to you. I said, Zoya, I can't accept it. I should be giving to you. She says these words, listen, my little brother. Don't you rob me of God's blessing. She said, when I bank in the bank of heaven. And when I go and draw my interest, I don't draw useless South African rands or Russian rubles. I draw US dollar. She says, look at this coat. I asked God for a coat for the winter. He sent me two, the quality of which you will not find in the whole of Russia. One for me and one to sow in the kingdom. I said, God, if I was given a coat like that, even if it was too large, I would take it to the tailor and make it fit, but I wouldn't give it away again. And here's this woman, rich. And me, with everything that I have, I'm the poor one. And from that day, I regularly gave out tithe. And I remember at this Pentecostal church where I was a member, I was a young Christian, but I was tithing, and the pastor wrote me a letter, and he says, Johnny, thank you very much. For the last year, you've been the highest tither in the church. That was only 45 rand a month in those days, in any case. So I thought, well, you know, I wonder whether I don't need God anymore, because, you know, I'm so blessed. But then I realized. And from that day, as far as this money came in, the Lizzie and I would give it out. And as missionaries, God has never, ever dropped us. And we have a better standard of living as when I had my own pharmacy. Now, let me just put it this way. I was invited to go and speak at a little church outside of the city. And when I walked in there, there was a plaque on the wall there. Beautiful little thing. And I went to read it, but it was in English. So I said to the pastor, have you read this? He says, no, some American missionary gave it to me. It's nice, but I put it on there, but I don't understand. So it says this. If the future of the world for the church does not become more important than the future of the church, then the church has no future. Let me personalize it for you. If the future of the world for Shofar Hermanus does not become more important than the future of Shofar Hermanus, then Shofar Hermanus has no future. Brothers and sisters, it's wonderful to see you, and it's wonderful to see this hall filled. But you know, God's success of a successful, God's measure of a success is not how many people we can seat on a Sunday, but it's how many people we can send out. So it's not how many people we have, but how many we can send out. And we are going on a scouting trip. And I want to introduce Andries and the other leaders there to the work that we're doing. A legacy, and that must continue. And it's time that Delisi and I hand over the baton. And we trust that you will buy into this, because that is something so precious that we will reap the blessing here. Amen.
Yes, all I want to say is that the foundation that's been laid in the Ukraine is love and trust and coming alongside. And so that is why we want to send the next generation there, because the road, the foundation is laid, the friends are there, the doors are open. So we're going to go and introduce all the ones that want to go, and for our church in the future to invest there. I just want to tell you one thing. Many of you might think, no, I'm not a missionary at all. When we arrived there, that because I'm not an evangelist, I didn't have God's eyes and heart yet, I was so, ek was moedeloos geweest, and I thought, Lord, what have I got to give? You know, it was just me. I've got 6 kids, I raised them, the church was planted in Franschhoek, but there was nothing in my heart. And then I was so disappointed, and then one night as I prayed, the Lord has given me this picture of athletes running a race, but they were far away, and I thought, who are these people running? And the Lord showed me that it was for the church in Russia, running well, but without one person standing along the track to encourage them. There was nobody. For 7 years there was nobody. And God raised us up as a nation to do that. But then the next moment I saw myself standing, and then I'm done with this, we're done. I saw myself standing alongside the track with a small glass of water. And the Lord said to me, don't despise what I've placed in your hands. Don't despise it. In each one of us, He's given something special. And the Lord says, when you give the water at the right time to the right person, this will make that person to om die reisies te wen. But if we in Paul sal aankom. And you know, I forgot about it, so we came back to South Africa. And a week later, it was the Comrades Marathon. 4 athletes running in front, almost to the end. The first one's Ukrainian. The other 2 were Russians, and the 4th one was Nick Bester, South African athlete. He was a Christian. And the kids shouted for Nick Bester, and we said, no, he's shouting for the Ukraine. And at that moment, as we were looking, this is now South Africa TV, someone stood along the track with a glass of water and gave it to the Ukrainian athlete. And the background, on the other side of the road, there was a big white truck standing. And on it was written in red, Jesus for the Nations. And the Lord just said that South Africa and the Ukraine are binded with bonds of love that cannot be broken. And we thought we were done with the Ukraine, and then our kids said that they want to go. And Andries stirred the fire, and here we are.
Okay, I actually had a sermon prepared, but I don't think we're going to get to that. I think the long and the short is, Johnny and Delesti has built a legacy in Ukraine over many years, and I was privileged to be there once at the reunion of the Bible school and just hear the testimonies of the people that became pastors and ministry leaders throughout Ukraine, Russia, and beyond. And it was an amazing time just to hear the testimonies of what God did in their lives, and also the role that Johnny and Delesti played. They build a legacy. You know, some people build a legacy for themselves, but one thing about Johnny and Delesti, they build a legacy for God's glory. And as you know, they are part of our congregation. They've been regional elders with Shofar for many years. They're also part of our leadership. And I've really been praying and asking the Lord, where should we as a church be involved in missions as well? And to make a long story short, I really believe that we should continue in that what they have started. We have an opportunity to continue to build on those relationships that they have invested their lives in. And so this year we're sending a small team just to scout some of the churches there, to build relationships, to see if we can find like-minded, like-hearted churches that we can actually help, to find out what has the Lord laid on their hearts, what are their vision, what is their purpose, and how can we as a church support them. So I want to ask us, maybe first the team, where are the scout team that are coming? Come. Vian and Lisa has been in Ukraine as well. They've been there for a number of months. Hoe lang was jy daar, Vian? 2 keer. Ja. Vian was daar 2 keer. En Lisa, was jy nie saam nie? Okay, 3 maande Russia, 3 paar maande in Ukraine. Christopher kom ook saam, want hy is my brein. En dan Johnny en Delesti, kom julle ook sommer vorentoe. So in the end of August, from the 22nd of August to the 2nd of September, we are going to visit some of the churches and really trust the Lord to lay on our hearts who we should partner with. And again, it's not for our sake or what we can gain, but really to search God's heart to see how can we as a church partner with what God is doing in another nation. And that's really our heart. So I want us to just really consider to pray for us as a team as we go, and to pray with us that we would connect with churches there, that we as a church can partner and invest in their calling. It's not about our calling and our purpose. It's about their calling, their purpose, and how we as a church can connect with them. So I want us to consider that. I think there's two things about mission work. I had a whole sermon worked out, but we don't have time for that. But I think Romans speaks about that. There's a scripture in Romans. So maybe we can go to that one slide. Dankie Jan, my assistant is here now. There's a scripture in Romans. You'll find that. There we go. I just want us to consider that. You know, it's powerful to see how God in His wisdom chose that the kingdom would advance through the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel. It's not the wisdom of man, but the power of the gospel that bring men and women and child to salvation. And here in Romans it says, how shall they then call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without the preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And I want us to consider as a church that God sends us not just to countries far, but to our own homes and our own town and to our own influence. He sends us to go with the gospel, the good news. But one thing that I want us to consider as a church is we also are sent to go beyond South Africa and Africa and even to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel, which is God's heart and purpose for church. We're not just here to edify ourselves. We are actually here to pursue His kingdom, His will, and His purpose. And God's desire is to see all men saved. And in His wisdom, He has He has chosen to send believers to those who have not heard of the gospel, and to empower and to equip those who have to do the same in their nation. And that's really what we want to do. But there are two things. And I think the one thing that I want to say is you need to have, for the gospel to be effective in reaching the ends of the earth, you need a willing preacher. You need somebody that is willing to step out in faith and share the gospel. That is applicable to all of us every day. God is looking for His children that are willing to step out in faith to share the gospel. And the second thing is that He is looking for those who are willing to send. And I think that's one thing about church. I shared a whole series on the purpose of church, that God has given us different gifts with different abilities, that we should not be independent but interdependent. And I think this is so powerful in Romans, where it speaks about the fact it's not just about the willingness to go, but being sent by those who you come from. So that we don't go as independent individuals to do God's work, but that we are always interdependent upon one another. So this theme is not individuals going, it's us as a church going. And I want to really encourage us to consider that we send the team not just as a mission trip, but to send them as an extension for us, as of extension of us as a church. That we connect and continue in the legacy that has started, but that we will invest in another church for their purpose, for their dreams, so that God's desire to see all nations come to Him will be fulfilled. And the reason we're doing that is because we have a longing expectation for Christ's return. He said, when all the nations have heard the gospel, then the end will come. And so all of us, corporately, collectively, are called together to see God's kingdom and His will be done. To see not just our lives enriched, but those who do not know, not just in our town and in our country and in our continent, but even beyond. That's the purpose of church. So if you want to know where it all fits in, well, it fits in with what Johnny and Delesti started. It fits in with what God has called us to do as a church. So we're going this year, a small team, to connect with other churches so that next year we can send a bigger team. That bigger team will be meeting the needs of those churches that we connect with. So I want you to carefully not just consider sending us as a scout team, but also already start to pray about whether you should not be joining us next year as we send a team to the churches that we connect with this year. Will you be able to do that? Okay, I'm going to ask the team to stand, and then I'm going to ask us to stand. Yes, I'm going to explain the coffee thing now. But it's 11. So what I want us to do, I just want us to extend our hearts, and if you want to, your hands. And I want us just to bless the team as they go. And do it as an extension of us as a church, an extension of yourself as you partner with them to bring the gospel to those who need it most, and to equip the church in Ukraine with that passion to see the lost saved. Will we do that? I'm going to pray. You can just agree with me as I do. Father, I just want to thank You for the opportunity that we have as a church, Lord, not just to receive from You, Lord, but also to give. And Lord, I thank You, God, with what You have blessed us in this country. Lord, all the opportunities, Lord, and centuries of the gospel. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the abundance of receiving from You, Lord, not just spiritually, but materially, Lord. I pray, God, that as we send this team, Lord, that You will be with them. Lord, that You will bless them, that You will protect them, Lord. I pray that You will use them as an extension of Your heart to the people, Lord, that is in distant places that have not heard of Your gospel or Your love. Lord, I pray that You will protect them, that You will provide for them, and that You will use them powerfully, Lord, to extend Your kingdom, to establish Your work, Lord, that it may continue. Lord, we pray that legacy will continue from one generation to the next. God, I pray that you will use them to bring glory to your name, Lord. So we send them with love, God. We send them with faith, Lord. And Lord, we send them with our hearts, Lord, as we partner with them as they go, Lord, to bring back a good report. And Lord, I want to pray for us as a church, Lord, that as we give into others' ministry, Lord, that you will bless us in our own. And Lord, we thank you for this. And God, we pray that you will bring them back speedily in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.